customer expert.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It is 2024. We actually made it through 2023 somehow. You, I don't think, had it quite as rough as Brandon and I did to get to this point, but you at least made it as well. So if you don't know who this is with me, this is Karen Browning. You should recognize her. You should definitely be able to recognize her voice. She's been doing voiceover work for us for over a year now. And she also was the host for our episode with Sheila Gregor. Karen, I finally got you to sit down and introduce yourself. So welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's start, because this is just the way we do it. Let's just introduce yourself a little bit. Tell people who you are and a little bit about your story as far as how you came to faith.
Okay. So I'm Karen. I grew up here in Canton, and my family always attended church, and my parents were believers, so I was kind of born into a family of faith. And so I grew up going to church, and the first time that I remember like making a commitment to Christ, I was actually about 5 years old. And the way that that happened is we were driving in the car, and I realized, you know, as five-year-olds think, that if something happened and we got in a car crash, everyone else in the car would go to heaven. And so we got home and I talked to my parents and I was like, hold on, I need to do something about this. So then that night, you know, I prayed with my dad to receive Jesus into my heart. But obviously my faith now is different than my faith as a five-year-old. And so it's been a course of, since then, really understanding what that decision meant, learning more about who Jesus is, and learning every day how I can better be more like him and follow after him.
Awesome. So, yeah, a little bit of trauma-induced salvation origins, but
yes,
there's been growth.
Yes.
You're not five anymore. You've moved past that. So I guess the first question then with that would be, what's the biggest change that you've experienced in your faith as far as going from, you know, growing up in one set of beliefs and then kind of moving your way through and discovering Jesus?
Yeah, I think it was there's a lot of things that have changed, but I think there's a big shift between like, this is my parents' faith, this is my family's faith, to like, this is my faith and I need to own it for myself, which also means that I'm responsible for putting in the like time and effort into this relationship that I have with the Lord. I can't rely on somebody else. I also ended up marrying someone who happened to have a theology degree, and I had to relearn it all over again. Like, his faith isn't going to save me. Like, I can't just rely on his relationship and knowledge of the Lord. I still have to maintain my relationship with the Lord. And my relationship with the Lord looks different than my family's, my husband's, because I'm a different person and God created me differently. So I think the biggest shift is, you know, taking ownership of my own relationship.
So speaking of Rob.
Yes.
So your husband, Rob, has a theology degree. You guys, though, you guys were part of the original team within Third Street, right? No.
No. We started going just before the pandemic.
Okay. So you guys were around 2019. Mm-hmm. So about the same time as us, actually. I thought you guys had been there a little bit longer. I guess not. But yeah, you guys have been there for a while now, though.
Yes.
And you guys have also been extremely influential and helpful within the church, but a lot of people don't even realize how much so, because you and Rob are very much the spiritual gifts of hospitality and the spiritual gifts of love and caring have been big pieces of you guys, and some people don't even know that, and it's not something that gets talked about enough or anything like that. So this may be more Rob than you. I don't know. What does that actually look like? How have you guys found that this is what God, that one, you enjoy doing it, and two, that this is what, you know, God's asked you to be within a church setting?
Yeah, I think it is just us. Partly, you know, anytime you go to a new church, you're like, okay, where do I fit? Where do I, like, how can I serve? But how can I be a part of this community? And it actually started with us setting up chairs at church, because we noticed that, you know, we all take down our chairs at the end. And so we kind of helped out with that, because we don't have kids or anything to rush home to or make sure we're, you know, everybody's all in line. So we helped take down the chairs.
Rob the elder is feeling very, very offended right now, I'm sure.
And then the person who at that time was in charge of setup was like, hey, would you mind to Rob learning how to do setup so that if I need a week off, you can help me out? So then we started setting up chairs at the beginning, and we still do that. But through that, have met, you know, more people who were there for a worship team or sound or things like that, and got to know more people that way, and started realizing that a lot of people, not just at our church, but in general, kind of feel like they don't have support, or they don't have a place that they can like completely relax. And so we started inviting people to our house, and just did our best to make them feel welcome. But it is something that we find to be really life-giving for us to do that. And so, yeah, it's kind of a meeting up of, you know, who God created us to be and what we enjoy and our strengths and a need that was in the church.
Awesome. So the other side of you, though, is that you are a medical professional. Mm-hmm. You're a midwife.
Yes.
And you've shared in some of those gatherings at your home that it's not just say this is the career you've gone into sort of thing, that you do actually find this to be a ministry of sorts. Mm-hmm. So let's walk through this side of it. So to start with, for people that don't have any idea, because there are a lot of people that don't actually know what this is, let's start. What actually is a midwife? What is it that you do?
Okay. So the route that I took to become a midwife is that I'm a certified nurse midwife. So I was a nurse. I went back to school. It's kind of like being a nurse practitioner, but you specialize in women's health and OB. And it just has a different name, because it has kind of a convoluted history. But there are also midwives, particularly the way that it's structured in Ohio, who have gone through like an apprenticeship. They weren't necessarily nurses or like medically trained. And those are the midwives that you more often would see doing like home births or things like that. I help catch babies at the hospital, and I see women throughout their pregnancy. And in an office.
Yeah, you didn't wear your baby snatcher shirt today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess the first question with that then is how did you find that was where you wanted to go? Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of different routes from nurse that you can go. You can stay just general nurse. You can go multiple. There's all these different letter combinations that can be thrown on there. So how did you decide that this was the direction you wanted to go?
So honestly, it is because of my sister who started having kids. I think her oldest was born when I was about in middle school. And she had her oldest in a hospital setting. She was married. They had moved to Texas. And so her support system wasn't the same as it would have been if she was in Ohio. I don't know that would have made a difference. But being young and her first pregnancy, she only knew what she knew and didn't know what she didn't know. And so had a scenario where she, looking back, maybe felt like a little bit more uninformed or coerced into things, or felt a little bit out of control with her experience. And so subsequently, she had two more biological children, and one was born in a birthing center with a community midwife, and then one was born at home with a community midwife. So she kind of like took each step back a little bit further from
the medical system. See which one we like best and then stick with that from now on.
Yeah. So watching her experience of that and the difference between feeling out of control in a moment of vulnerability, because giving birth is one of the most vulnerable things out there, to feeling empowered and able and just confident in her own ability to birth, to mother, and be a parent, made me think like, oh, that's something that I want to be a part of. That's something that I see a need in. And I want to help kind of bridge that gap. So that's how I ended up where I am. I started as a nurse and then I went to labor and delivery as a nurse to get some experience there. And then I thought, there are so many things here that I still need to learn. So I took my time there, kind of reconsidered and decided, yes, I still am going to go to school. And then I went to school for midwifery. So
awesome. So how has this been, I guess, how have you found yourself kind of in, you know, the wording we use all the time, the holy discontent type of thing. How has that been what you found? Because you started out just like, oh, this is a need. This is a need I can fill. This is a need I've seen filled. And so I want to be a part of it. But you've been a midwife now for how long?
4.5 years.
4.5 years. Is it still the same sort of desire to help people, or has it changed to something more? Why? What is it about this field that is like, this is what God has made me to be?
I think it is. It really is just being in those moments with the women and their families, because women are often overlooked sometimes in the process, and in the medical system, it's possible to feel overlooked, even though you are kind of the main part of this whole process. And so making sure people feel seen and are listened to in the process is just really important to me. I get a little, I guess this would be like holy discontent too. Like I get mama bear about my patients when I feel like they aren't getting the dignity that they deserve in the process. So,
yeah, you know, the thing that we've always known about both you and Rob, because, you know, you in the midwife side of it, Rob just in the kitchen, if nothing else, which if you have not, if you are a part of Third Street and have never tasted food from the Browning House, you're missing out. But, you know, the thing about both of you guys, and especially you, even within the midwife field, is that it is all about people. And that it's all about Imago Dei. It's all about loving other people, whether they're there as a part of your church, whether they're there as just your neighbors, whether they're there as your patients. It's all about the people. Is that something that, you know, has been instilled in you for a long time? Is this part of the personal side of, this is what I've discovered when I've discovered Jesus? You know, how did that come about where, you know, it's just the natural desire to see people loved?
Mm-hmm. I would say it's probably opposite for me and Rob. I think like I grew up with a passion for people. And even when I was thinking, you know, in high school about careers down the road, I was like, I want to work with people, not in an office or not, you know, just behind a desk or a computer or something like that. Like I need to be interacting with people for what I do because that's what I care about. So I think I've always kind of been that like secret extrovert. Most people don't know, but I am an extrovert. And so I get the most fulfillment out of, you know, connecting with other people and making sure that they feel loved. But Rob, I think it is more of a learned thing because he is a lot more of an internal processor, an introvert.
Most theology people are.
Yeah, yeah. So he actually he made a New Year's resolution once to treat people like people. If he makes a New Year's resolution, he actually takes it very seriously. And so he spent that year like seeing people for who they are, and it shifted his perspective. And since then, that's been a part of who he is and how he operates.
So the other side, as far as why you're here, not nearly as spiritually driven, I don't think. But an interesting thing that when this was brought, I think you brought it up to Brandon originally, and then I thought he was joking, so we had to verify it before we did anything, is that you've always secretly wanted to be a voiceover artist.
Yes.
What's the story there? Because this, I think, is going to be a little very, very interesting to hear what the story is behind this.
I don't know that it's that exciting of a story. I just always used to love, like, call on me to read in class any day. Like as a kid,
I think if that's your, if you're the kid that actually wants to be called on, I don't think you can call yourself a secret extrovert anymore.
I would love reading in class. I actually took a speech class twice in high school instead of doing a study hall because I would rather go do speech class than study hall. I've just always enjoyed that kind of thing. But I also like, you know, acting and things like that. I was in the musicals in high school and stuff. Not any like serious roles though, but it feels like you get to, when you're voice acting, which is not something that I do professionally, nor have I trained to do, but it seems to me like a way to kind of like put something out there without having to feel like you have to be that something, if that makes sense. Like you can just have fun with it without the whole body experience of like acting. So
I guess the big question with all of that then is that you've now been doing stuff for us for a little bit, and then it took a while for between me and Brandon, and she told me she had done this, so we'll assume she has. Shout out to Rachel Hunka also pushing you to do this. You finally agreed to do an interview for us. Mm-hmm. You interviewed Sheila Gregor, which if you haven't listened to that, go back, listen to it. It's linked in the show notes. It's linked in, and you can find Sheila's stuff in the guest portal and all of that. But what are you kind of hoping to be able to do now that you're getting a little bit more comfortable with all? Because part of what you were talking about, the voiceover, is that you get to just do it and not have to be it. But part of what we're now asking you to do is to put stuff out there and actually be it. Because you've already talked about the fact that where your heart is at is for people and for hurting people, especially mm-hmm. That don't have a voice, which is part of the goal of what we're doing here is to do the same sort of thing. So what, you know, it's the new year. You said, you know, if you make New Year's resolutions, Rob is going to force you to actually live up to it. So we're going to make you do a New Year's resolution here. What are you kind of hoping to be able to see happen now that you're willing, quote unquote, willing to take on a little bit more of a role within the stuff we're doing here within Misfits? What are you kind of hoping to see?
So when I was talking with Sheila in the other episode, one of the things that I asked her was, you know, like how we were obviously specifically talking about purity culture, but like, how do we get things to change? And so she had mentioned that it is like a grassroots kind of process. And so I really enjoyed being able to talk with her and kind of get her research and information out there. So things like that, like being able to introduce people to maybe new ideas.
So that's kind of answering the question without answering the question. What is it that you personally, though, want to actually be able to do? You know, what are you hoping to be able to, you know, you talked about specifically the grassroots movement, everything within the purity culture is one area, but that's just one area of where there's stuff that needs exposed or needs exposure is that, you know, exposed would be the bad stuff. Exposure would be the good stuff. What are you kind of hoping that you're going to be able to help with in terms of getting more exposure, if not necessarily the exposing, but giving more exposure to things? You know, are you, what is it that you're kind of, the audience you're hoping to be able to kind of connect with more than Brandon or me or Tomiko are able to?
I don't know that I've really thought that much about it. But I don't know.
And that's okay. That's part of what we're hoping to find.
I don't have an answer.
That's okay. Because that's part of what we're hoping to find. Because like you said, you found throughout your growth and out throughout your Christian development and everything else, and even career development, that you've been drawn towards those that are hurting. You've been drawn towards those that just need community. And so that's part of what, you know, the goal of everything we're doing here is, which is part of why it was a no-brainer when you said, I want to do this. And we're like, well, then yeah, let's get you in here. So we're going to discover what that is. And next year, when I have you come back on at the beginning of the year, we'll see if you found out who it is and what that looks like and everything else. So it's a shorter episode, and that's okay, because it's the beginning of the year. We actually made it to the beginning of the year for once. Normally, by the beginning of the year, I'm hacking up a lung, and we can't do anything until February anyway. So, you know, we are in the middle of season three. Season four is coming here soon. You'll be seeing more of Karen. You'll be seeing more of Tomiko Holness, who will be on next week to introduce himself as well. Brandon is still going to be around. I'm still here. You're stuck with me. So be on the lookout for all that stuff. Just like every year, to close out a season, we are hoping to do kind of a mini series thing. So we've got a couple things planned in terms of talking about what things actually are rather than what they actually look like right now. So we're planning on talking with the network guys about what it actually means to be a pastor. We're planning on having a conversation with Brian Hudson and Joel Bowman about what it actually means to be a church. And we're also got a couple other of episodes scattered in throughout, including more introductions from the growing Misfits team. Thanks to Karen for kicking that off as being the newest member since Brandon. So if you want to get all of that, stay tuned on the website. I believe by the time you're listening to this, the new website is up, which means you'll be able to find Karen's information on there. You'll be able to find Tomiko, who will be on next week. You'll be able to find all the guest portal stuff. It's all still there. MinistryMisfits.com. Patreon. Go to patreon.com/MinistryMisfits. We do have a new Bible study that should be starting sometime in 2024. Going through the book of Daniel. If you want to be a part of that, patreon.com/MinistryMisfits. Any of the levels get you access to those. All that good stuff. There's also the new network. So if you have not been paying attention, Joe Day is on all the time. Part of that is because he's one of the only ones that agrees to do this with me at any moment's notice. The other reason, though, is because we have, he and I and Aunt Wilson from Kingdom on the Road, the three of us have kind of put our collective brains together and have started a new network. So we are still part of OV Radio, but we have also joined a new network, which we'll see. Just for fun, let's see if you can guess what it is here. So the name is Hithalog. It's the Hithalog Media Network. Okay. Any guesses as to what that means? This is your first time getting trivia on the show here. Any guesses what that means?
No.
That's because it doesn't mean anything.
Okay,
so
great.
You get to start out with a bell. Good job. It means nothing. It started out as a joke because of not auto-correcting the word high theology. So it's the Hithalog Media Network. The other guess, of the, any guesses as the logo? What animal?
Lion.
Oh, so sorry. Now you actually have to get the buzzer. So sorry. No, it's a blue whale, which is also a joke for those that watch QI and are fans of British television. It's a blue whale, but it's also, again, just of thanks to typos and theology and everything else. So anyway, if you want to check all that out, there's a new website up. You can find that linked in the show notes. You can find that linked on the new website. I believe it's up now. It should be up now. Hopefully it's up by now when you're listening to this. If not, I've got more work to do. So check out all that good stuff. Karen, thank you for finally agreeing to sit and do this. You've already been belled. You've been buzzered. Does it feel as bad as you thought it would feel?
No. I was a little nervous, but it's all good.
See, I told you Brandon overreacts to all this stuff. So you'll be seeing more of her here throughout the new year. You'll be seeing more of Tamiko, who will be on next week throughout the new year. Brandon and I will be back, as well as I think we mostly have returning guests for the rest of season 3, but we've got some new guests that are excited to come on for 2024. So we will see you all then.
The Ministry Misfits podcast is a production of Ministry Misfit Media in association with Overwhelming Victory. Dr. Greg Linville and Andrew Fouts are our executive producers, and Brandon Simmons is associate producer. The Ministry Misfits theme song is written and produced by J.D. Laird and Laird Creative Agency. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at ministrymisfitmedia@gmail.com or by following at Ministry Misfit on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also visit our website at www.ministrymisfits.com or through bio.link/ministrymisfits. If you would like to support Ministry Misfits, you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ministrymisfits.